Yes, we're now back in public session for public hearing scheduled at 1:30. Mr. Moore.
Yes, thank you, Mr. President. This is the time and place that we have our public hearings on zoning applications. These are legislative hearings because council uses the information obtained during these hearings to decide whether to adopt an ordinance to amend the comprehensive zoning map in the manner requested by the applicant. Each application will be announced. The director will review with council the minutes and testimony from the P&Z hearing, and these minutes will be made part of the record along with any exhibits introduced at the P&Z hearing and any recommendations made by the commission. The applicant will be called on to present and explain their application and present reasons supporting their application. Council may question the applicant and their witnesses. After the applicant has presented their application, council will provide an opportunity for anyone else who favors the application to speak. After that, any persons who oppose or question the application will be allowed to state the reasons for their opposition or questions. After that, there will be no rebuttal by the applicant, and the hearing will be closed unless council decides to leave the record open for a specific purpose and time period. Further, the applicant will not be allowed to question persons who speak in opposition, and persons who speak in opposition will not be allowed to question the applicant or their witnesses. If you intend to speak, you are required to come to the front and stand at the speaker stand and state your name and home address before you make a statement. If you represent or speak for a group or organization, please identify who you represent. When you make your statement, please be concise. Do not repeat yourself. If you have a written statement, hand it to Mr. Lank and it will be made part of the record. If there is more than one witness for the applicant or more than one person in opposition, please do not repeat points that a prior speaker has already stated. All persons in attendance should conduct themselves in an orderly fashion. No applause or other disruptive behavior is permitted. If you have a cell phone, pager, beeper, or other telephonic device with you, please take time now to turn it off or switch it to silent service. At the conclusion of the hearing on each application, council may either approve it, deny it, or defer it to a later date. If the Planning and Zoning Commission deferred action, council will do likewise. The first hearing today is the application of Tim Elder. Mr. Lang?
Yes, this is conditional use number 1916. It's the application of Tim Elder to consider conditional use of the land in a B1 neighborhood business district for a hot dog hamburger vendor to be located on a certain parcel of land lying and being in Dagsborough 100, Sussex County, on a parcel containing 24,743 square feet, more or less, lying northwest corner of Shortley Road, also known as Road 431, and Hartscraffle Road, also known as Route 20. For the benefit of the record, I'll pass down copies of the survey of the property, and there's a, right at the corner near the store is a proposed site for the vendor cart location. During the public hearing on December 15th of 2011, the applicant had submitted a survey, and it is a part of the record. We heard comments from the Sussex County Engineering Department Utility Planning Division. Mr. Elder was present on behalf of his application and gave testimony. There were no parties present in support of or in opposition to the application. At the conclusion of the public hearing, the commission discussed this application. Mr. Rawl stated he would move that the commission recommend approval of conditional use 1916 for Tim Elder for a hot dog hamburger vendor based upon the record and for the following reasons. One, the property is owned B1 neighborhood business, which permits small-scale neighborhood-type businesses, and this use is consistent with that zoning. Two, the proposed use is very limited in scope and will not adversely affect area roadways or properties. Three, with the proposed conditions, the use will be temporary until the property is renovated. Four, this recommendation is subject to the following conditions. A, the use shall be limited to a temporary hot dog vendor stand. B, the hot dog vendor stand shall not be permanently located on the site and shall be removed or relocated to the rear of the building when not in use. C, the hours of operation shall be 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. 7 days per week. D, the final site plan shall be subject to the review and approval of the Sussex County Planning and Zoning Commission. And E, this conditional use shall automatically expire upon the issuance of a certificate of compliance certificate of occupancy for any permanent structure on the property. There was a motion and a second and carried unanimously to forward this application to council with a recommendation that the application be approved for the reasons and with the conditions stated. And that motion carried 5-0. To date, I've received no additional correspondence from any individual or agency on this application. And that's all I have.
Any questions from council? If not, Mr. Elder?
Yes, hi. I really don't have a whole lot to add to what Mr. Lank has stated. It's pretty straightforward. It's a hot dog cart situated where I have it located there on the map. It's removable on a daily basis, as Mr. Lank stated. What Mr. Lank also stated, once the renovation is complete, it'll, I assume the conditional use will then expire. So.
Okay, do you have any witnesses or anyone else here for you? Does council have any questions of this applicant? Mr. Elder, you do own this property now, is that correct?
That's correct. Actually, it's in an LLC, Workman Store LLC.
And you're okay with it having to cease after you've completed the renovations?
Well, I would prefer it not.
Mm-hmm.
And we discussed that at planning and zoning. Mm-hmm. If I had my druthers, I'd like to see it continue in case I were to put something like a retail store in there. I think it would go hand in hand with the retail store.
Mm-hmm.
But as I said at the planning and zoning hearing, if those are the conditions, then I'll abide by them.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Well, yeah, Tim, I have actually talked to Lawrence a number of times in the past about having one food vendor being permitted in a commercial district because, I think stated that you're not really going to – it like complements other uses and stuff. And the recommendation is maybe we just go to the Board of Adjustment and get a variance for it or something like that. So maybe by the time you get around to remodeling this, we'll look at it. I'm hoping maybe we can get a consensus here because, like, when you go to Lowe's, there's a hot dog vendor out there, it's say going into Rehoboth there, and he had to get a conditional use. That was two public hearings just to put a hot dog stand there that customers going in and out of Lowe's, you know, stop and get a hot dog, and it's not really putting any added burden on the parking and other systems, and they're portable. So I'd like to maybe the council focus in on what this applicant's asking for, and maybe we could come up with a definition of what a vending cart or a mobile type of food vendor would be, and maybe we could change this so then maybe you won't have to go through this again, and we could look at it. Lawrence, we'd have to come up with a whole new ordinance or to address?
Well, not to get away from the public hearing, but
right.
The original ordinance was created for vendors, and because of the hucksters we were getting
right.
along the public road, they just pull over in a truck and start selling corn or watermelon.
Anywhere.
Anywhere. They would just do it, and we had a problem with that. It didn't have business licenses and all, so we had to come up with a regulation.
Right.
That's what started it.
Right. But there are places where they're appropriate, and I think something like this is not inappropriate or whatever. Anyway, go. That's only comments okay. I got to say. I don't see any problem with, like, a hot dog stand.
I mean, could we go ahead and scratch B and not and allow it to be permanent?
Well, we could. I'm sure we could.
I think we should.
Yeah, sure.
I mean, if it's the consensus or you're thinking we can't maybe take a vote now, but maybe later on I'll make a motion to direct the staff to do something to address this thing. Because I don't know about the rest of you. I don't see a problem. But when the outlet malls wanted to do kiosks and put in products, then they would advertise. That could bring in additional traffic, put an additional burden on the plumbing or the sewer and the parking, et cetera. But this. These little mobile hot dog carts you see them on every corner in the cities. They don't seem to be a big issue, and I think that it's something about a convenience, and hot dogs always taste better when you buy one out of one of those places. Isn't it because you never change the water?
Well, that's I can't divulge
those trade secrets.
Trade secrets.
Having owned a cart yourself,
I have a little cart. Have had one for years.
Are there any other questions from council? If not, is there anyone else here that would like to speak in favor of this application? Anyone else here that would like to speak in favor? Seeing none, is there anyone here that would like to speak in opposition to this application? Anyone in opposition? Thank you. At this point, Mr. President, we can close the public hearing on this matter.
Close public comment, close public hearing, and ask Mr. Moore to read the short title.
Okay. Was there any suggestion to remove one of the conditions?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Because if someone wanted to move that, we would make a motion on that, vote on removing that condition first. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I move that we remove, I believe it would be item B.
Strike B.
Yeah, I'll second it.
We have a motion, a second, to remove item 4E.
B.
B?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I'm sorry.
And I have a question.
You're right, 4B. Excuse me. In the recommendations from Planning and Zoning. Any questions on that motion?
Not on that motion, no.
If I could, I'm also looking, and when Mr. President said E also, Mr. Lank, would that also need to be amended as well?
Well, if you're going to take it, you said B, right?
Mm-hmm. That's correct. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
If you're taking out B, you're allowing it to be permanent.
Right.
So you don't need E.
So we need to remove both.
So you need to remove E also.
Okay, I'll amend my.
I thought E more than B, to be true, but I'm okay.
I'll amend my motion to reflect the removal of both B and E.
All right, second
that's
that.
Okay. Yes. Second is okay.
D or B? E.
B as in boy and E as in Edward.
Okay, as in elephant.
Any questions on the motion?
No.
We'll take that vote for Mrs. Deaver.
Yes.
Mr. Cole.
Yes.
Mr. Phillips.
Yes.
Mr. Wilson.
Yes.
I vote yes. That motion carried.
Now I have a question.
Okay.
Definition of hot dog hamburger stand. What can you sell at a hot dog hamburger stand? Only hot dogs and hamburgers? I don't know. Yeah. What's? Is it really limited?
It didn't even have hamburger on here, did it?
No, I think that's just a description of what those hot dog carts, they call
that's
them hot dog carts.
That's what I want to know. It's the cart. What, that we're talking about.
If we do look to an coming up with an ordinance or a change, we will have to define, and that we will, for this case we can't, but right ever if we do something
so
formally, we need to have a good definition. And
right, Mr. Lank, is this the definition we'd used on the others that were before here?
There really isn't a definition. It's just way applied. It's really it's been referred to as a vendor cart. And I think we advertised it as a hot dog hamburger vendor. That make reference to a stand or a cart. A stand could be considered permanent. A cart would be something that's on wheels and be moved away.
Which this is.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Which is what the way to treat it.
Should a stand?
Should we, I guess, is it too late to amend the shall be limited and put in their hot dog hamburger vending vehicle or something like that?
I think he's all right. I think it's okay. Just forget it.
So just to make it, I mean, because he said we always did it in
you
the
better
past.
Not be caught selling cheesesteaks.
Can he sell sodas?
Yeah, right. Oh, yeah, I mean, just
use cars.
Can he sell sodas?
Just, no, we don't want to.
Especially if you want one, right, Mike?
That's right.
You can sell sodas, too, right?
It's just kind of a generic.
So it's not really limited to hot dogs.
No. Just, I think it's more a generic thing, just a concept than exactly.
Gotcha.
Well, that's why I say we might want to. Somebody could read this and say it would, you know, I don't know.
The word vending cart might be better than a stand.
It is.
That's what I'm trying to
we change that?
Because it's clarified, because a stand would be a permanent structure.
Yes, it would
Could
be.
Food, it's would just called a food vending cart.
Yeah.
So in A, the use shall be limited to a food vending cart. Is that correct?
Yeah, I'd like to amend that.
Probably be better, yes.
Mm-hmm.
With hot dogs.
Yeah.
You know, I move that we amend that.
All right, we have a motion, Mrs. Deaver, second, Mr. Cole.
Yes.
To amend 4A to say that you should be limited to a temporary
food vending cart.
Don't we take
that temporary is out, isn't it?
Yeah. Temporary is out.
No.
Just a food vending cart.
Food vending cart.
Yeah.
Any questions on that motion? We'll take the vote on that. Mrs. Deaver.
Yes.
Mr. Cole.
Yes.
Mr. Phillips.
Yes.
Mr. Wilson.
Yes.
I'll vote yes. Motion carries.
Grapple sandwich.
Now, is there anything else we can, I mean, is anything left to approve versus
hard scrabble?
Would you like me to read the ordinance?
Please now? Read the short title of the ordinance.
This is an ordinance to grant a conditional use of land in a B1 neighborhood business district for a hot dog slash hamburger vendor to be located on a certain parcel of land lying and being in Dagsborough 100, Sussex County, containing 24,743 square feet, more or less, subject to the following conditions. A, the use shall be limited to a food vending cart. B, the hours of operation shall be 10 a.m. to 5 p.m., 7 days per week. C, the final site plan shall be subject to the review and approval of the Sussex County Planning and Zoning Commission.
Okay, that motion?
I'll move it. I'll make the motion.
Motion, Mrs. Deaver, second.
Yes,
Mr.
second.
Cole, to approve CU 1916 as amended. Any questions on the motion? Now we'll take the vote, Mrs. Deaver.
Yeah, I vote yes. The Planning and Zoning Commission recommended it, and I believe that with the amendments and with the conditions that are as amended, I vote yes.
Cole.
That corner has had a long history of serving food, and I hate riding by it and knowing that I can't stop and get something to eat in that location. So I think this would be an appropriate rezoning.
Mr. Phillips.
I agree. It has got a history, and it is a use that could be very helpful to the community. I vote yes.
Mr. Wilson.
I vote yes. Of all the other reasons they gave.
And the conditions.
With the recommendation of planning and zoning and the changes that were made, I think it certainly makes sense to have that ability out there. I'll vote yes. Motion carried. Thank you, sir. Have a good day.
Thank you, Council.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. Next application is Roosevelt Domon. Mr. Lang?
Yes, thank you. Now, this application is to consider the conditional use of the land in an AR1 agriculture residential district for a beauty salon, barbershop, and spa to be located on a certain parcel of land lying and being in Little Creek 100, Sussex County, on a parcel containing 17,228.6 square feet, more or less, lying northeast corner of Trussell Pond Road, also known as Road 462, and Gordy Road, also known as Route 70. Again, for the record, I passed down copies of the survey and site plan of the property showing buildings and proposed parking. I also passed down a series of letters of opposition that were received at the commission level. I'm not sure if the council received all those or not. Again, this public hearing on this application heard on December 15th of 2011. We heard comments from the Sussex County Engineering Department Utility Planning Division, from DLDOT in the form of a support facilities report. We had received those 9 letters in opposition to the application. The applicant was present and gave his testimony. There was one party present, or no parties present in support of the application, and one party spoke in opposition to the application. The commission on the 15th did defer action and has yet to meet to be able to make a recommendation to council on this application. And that's all I have unless you have questions.
Any questions from council? If not, if the applicant would come forward, please. Good afternoon.
No.
And if you will just explain to council what you're planning to do and why they should grant this use for you.
Actually, this unit is a triplex, which is a unit with 3 apartments in it. So the one in question, the front road, which is to some point wood side, I would like to convert to barbershop, beauty salon, and spa. So just to make sure the area a little bit, try to create the fancy in this property, make sure there is no noise, instead of rent it to some people, gonna make, sometimes people don't care. Sometimes kids noisy in the street, play ball in the street, you know, which is not safe. So I put in my mind do something different in this unit. It should be better for me and also for the community, for the neighbors. So I realize sometimes the main concern for the neighbors is just thinking about if they allow me to do it, later on somebody else probably come forward and ask for the same thing. So I understand that. But in my address, try to make a little recommendation as far as to remove the barbershop part of the plan. Just leave beauty salon and spa.
Okay, just so I understand, are you stating that that is being removed from your request?
Yes,
I
tried
to remove it. So it would only be the two items?
Yeah, just to make it facilitate, you know.
Barbershop out?
For the neighbor, you know, instead of sometimes two different category of people coming for hair, you know, and beauty salon, you know, I understand that. So to improve the situation, you know, so that's, I would like to do that recommendation, you know.
If I may, Everett, the beauty shop is typically for the ladies.
Yes.
And the barbershop is typically for men.
For men, that's correct.
But 50% of men go to beauty shop to get a haircut. So it'd be kind of hard to police if you take it out. It's easier to leave it in.
Okay.
Just an observation.
Would that be from experience?
Yes, sir. I go to beauty shop all the time to get a haircut.
At a discount.
At a discount. I only got half a head of hair, so what can I say?
Yeah,
but there's not much difference between a beauty shop and a barbershop.
The
difference is more the spa. So maybe you want to explain to the council what the spa would do, what benefit that would be, or what it would provide the service.
Well, this spa probably provide a kind of massage, you know, just especially for the ladies, you know, taking care of the beauty hair. Feet, you know, some kind of muscle relaxing, you know, that's pretty much all for the spa. But not something probably have too many vehicles coming. When it comes barbershop, sometimes people could probably bring the kids, the boy, you know, hey, daddy, something like that, you know, kind of noisy, but as far as something like there's beauty salon, people just parking and go inside, and then until done, no, there's no noise. And there was also a concern as far as the parking. And when I took the measurement from the parking is from the sidewalk to the whole parking is 28 feet from the sidewalk to where all vehicles gonna park. So that's pretty much all for now, you know. Okay. So I understand some concern about neighbor talking about in the letter. When I read the letter, I realize some mistake has been done. You know, when they're talking about the safety, the corner, and even though a trailer 42, 56 feet turned, nothing to do with this look at this direction where all vehicles gonna park. You know.
The three apartments are still three apartments here. Is that what it is?
Yes.
And that's already previously approved, Lawrence, I guess.
Previously established. You know, we don't have any record of any violation there.
So I mean, it's not a permitted, not permitted.
The house, it's a house plus two apartments. That's what it really would come down to.
No, it was three since I purchased it, and it was three.
No, I say it's a large house with a dwelling plus two rental units. And you could rent all three, but I'm just saying it was the original. Yeah. Originally, it was one plus two.
Two going to be rented, and only the front one going to be.
But multifamily is not permitted there. I mean, was it grandfathered? Is it old enough to be grandfathered?
We can figure it's pre-established.
Really? Okay. Been there that long.
He purchased it that way. He didn't
create it. No, I understand that. I just was wondering. So you're going to eliminate one of the apartments to do this, or we're going to still have three apartments plus the salon?
No.
Two apartments.
Right? Just two apartments remain the same, and one going to convert to...
To this?
Yes.
Use, okay. I got you. All right. And the parking, Lawrence, meets our...
The question of the parking related to some of the commission's concerns, because make sure there's an adequate space for the parking, mm-hmm. because for a business you can't back out directly into a street.
Right.
And there was a 28-foot doesn't provide that. So it's got to be an adjustment somewhere, and it would all be based on site plan.
Okay.
There was discussion about fencing, there was discussion about the parking location.
Okay, so
two of the commission's concerns. As I stated earlier, the commission hasn't made a recommendation yet, so we don't know what their final determination is.
All right.
If we could have them back off the street into the parking space.
That'd be interesting.
Okay, any other questions from council? If not, do you have anything else you'd like to add, sir?
Well, I do not have so far, but as far as the parking goes, and the way the old vehicle goes straight and back, that's the way it is. There's no question.
And what other businesses are in the area close to this? What other businesses are around this? Are there other businesses close to this property? Existing businesses?
No, there's only one church, a little bit, quarter mile.
So this would be the first business in the area?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Lawrence, what is the rule on home business? They could have one chair?
If he lived on a premise, mm-hmm. he could have a one operator beauty salon. The ordinance says chair, but it had to be interpreted as an operator, because especially in a beauty shop, they've got a wash station, a cut station, and a drying station. So really, it tends to be three chairs, but one operator. So we refer to it as operator. The ordinance says chair, and that's kind of misleading.
And you don't live there, correct?
No, I plan about living this one of the unit, but so.
You do plan on living
there? Yeah, I do, because my house right now, my primary home is in process, kind of foreclosure thing, so I never know what's going to be, so therefore, that's my hope.
Right.
Any other questions from council?
Is there a lot of parking in the back? I should look at this drawing. That's where most of the parking would be then, in the back or on the side. And it's certainly not in the front.
Well, right now they're just showing it right here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We'd have to do something different.
I'm just looking at the size of the building and the size of the lot.
Mm-hmm. Depends on where the septic and all that is.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay.
As far as the, for the, this is a paving for mm-hmm. apartment A. Is about can get them at least nothing to do with the area or the
parking. You're talking about having parking.
That's
back
nothing
there.
To do with this, So probably two car for the apartment C, which is in the back, and as far as the beauty salon, probably four parking. That's enough.
If this use were to be approved, the commission would have to review the site plan based mm-hmm. on all the uses, and it would be two parking spaces per unit for the rentals and whatever the square footage is set aside for the beauty salon, barbershop, spa, whatever it turns out to be called.
So we don't know in advance if there's enough space?
No, he would have to show us that he had enough space mm-hmm. before he mm-hmm. could change the use.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay. That's what I'm after. Mm-hmm.
Okay. If there are no other questions from council, is there anyone else here today that would like to speak in favor of this application? Anyone else in favor? Is there?
You can have a seat.
Is there anyone that would like to speak in opposition to this? Sir? Come forward. Give us your full name and address, please.
My name is Fred Adams. I live at 400 East 6th Street in Laurel. My concern with this is because this is right on the very edge of an R1 district. Yes, there's a church there, but there's only church services there, I think, twice a week. My concern is that there are so many children in the area, and from 3 o'clock on, there's a lot of school buses goes there, plus Gordy Road turns into 6th Street going into Laurel, and that's one of the main streets going in and out of Laurel. And I am concerned, number one, with the parking. Is it going to wind up on Gordy Road, or is it going to wind up on Trussell Pond Road? If it's on Trussell Pond Road, it's going to wind up in front of people's houses. And if it's on Gordy Road, it's going to be in the way of traffic coming in and out of town. And that is my concern. Plus, with it being two apartments as well, then you're talking about apartment parking, plus clientele parking, and I just think that it's going to turn it into a congested corner. That's my fears.
Okay, thank you. Is there anyone else that would like to speak in opposition? Anyone else? At this time, I'm sorry. Man, you almost had the gavel dropped on you.
Mm-hmm. My name is Virgil Klepper, 412 East 6th Street, Laurel. And I'd just like to reiterate what Mr. Adams says. My concerns would be the parking. A fear would just spill out over onto the street. And there's a church about diagonally across from it, and traffic in and out of there. Traffic coming to a stop on Gordy Road to turn either on left onto coming in on Trussell Pond, they would turn left on Gordy or right on Gordy, which runs into 6th Street. And like I said, this is right on the edge of the town limits, and it could conceivably create a lot of congestion. Thank you.
Thank you.
Get your name again, sir. Sir, could I get your name again?
Virgil Klepper.
Thank you.
Okay.
Klepper with a K. Klepper with a K.
Gotcha. Anyone else in opposition? Seeing none, at this point, Mr. President, we can close the public hearing on this matter. Since planning and zoning has not acted on it, made a recommendation, we will have to defer.
Make a motion to defer.
Second.
Okay, we will close public hearing, close public comment, and we have a motion to defer. Second, any questions on the motion? Take the vote, Mrs. Deaver.
Yes.
Cole.
Yes.
Phillips.
Yes.
Wilson.
Yes.
I vote yes. Motion deferred, I guess.
Okay.
Thank you.
Next item is Anthony S. Nerlinger for Lang.
Yes, this is conditional use number 1918, the application of Anthony S. Nerlinger to consider conditional use of land in an MR medium density residential district for a multifamily dwelling structure proposing two units to be located on a certain parcel of land lying being in Baltimore 100, Sussex County, parcel containing 6,000 square feet more or less, lying east of Ocean Drive across from Cove Road and being lot 84 in Tower Shore subdivision east of Route 1. This application was also reviewed in public hearing process by Planning and Zoning Commission on December 15th. For the benefit of the record, I passed down copies of the survey site plan for this application showing the area surrounding and the lot in question with the proposed improvements. Also passed down copies of letters recently received through fax or the mail from area residents in opposition. There were additional letters that are summarized in the report from the Planning and Zoning Commission before you. In this public hearing with the Planning and Zoning Commission on the 15th, we heard comments from the Sussex County Engineering Department Utility Planning Division. We had received several letters in opposition. They're all summarized in the about a page and a half of summary on pages 4, 5, and 6 of my report. Mr. Nerlinger was present and gave testimony. Mr. Robertson reminded the commission that the commission needs to look at whether this use is an appropriate land use for this parcel. The commission was provided with information about the posting of the property and some questions raised about advertisement and concerns that some people weren't notified within the subdivision. Mr. Robertson stated he was satisfied that proper notice was provided. There were no parties present in support of the application. Dean Campbell, attorney, was present on behalf of some of the residents in the immediate area of the site and expressed concerns. Bob Klopfenstein, hopefully I didn't pronounce that wrong, president of Atlantis 2 and Atlantis 3 across from the site, was present and gave testimony and submitted support letters. At the conclusion of the public hearing, the commission discussed the application. Mr. Smith stated, in looking at the site or this application for conditional use, most of the issues in the opposition comments are construction-oriented issues, not land use issues. Mr. Robertson reminded the commission that this application is similar to the Gibson application where multifamily units exist in the area and that the court action was taken because regulations already exist for height, bulk, and area requirements. Mr. Wheatley stated that the commission must decide if this use is an appropriate land use at this location. Mr. Smith stated that he moves that the commission recommend approval of conditional use 1918, for Anthony S. Nerlinger for a multifamily dwelling structure for two units based upon the record made at the public hearing and for the following reasons. One, the proposed conditional use will have no significant impact upon traffic. Two, Tower Shores has evolved into a development consisting primarily of multifamily dwelling structures, and there are other similar multifamily dwelling structures with two units or more units in the immediate vicinity. The project and how it is situated on a lot is very similar to structures along Ocean Road on either side of Lot 84. Three, the project will not have an adverse impact on the neighboring properties or community. Four, the property is in the environmentally sensitive development district overlay zone according to the Sussex County Comprehensive Land Use Plan. Five, the project will be served by Sussex County Sewer and Central Water. Six, this recommendation for approval is, however, subject to the following conditions and stipulations. A, only two units shall be constructed upon the property. B, the development of this property shall comply with all county and Denrec setbacks and building restriction lines. C, the units shall be served as a part of a Sussex County Sanitary Sewer District. D, the developer shall comply with all requirements of the Sussex County Engineering Department for connection to the sewer district. E, construction, site work, grading, and deliveries of construction materials, landscaping materials, and fill on, off, or to the property shall only occur between the hours of 8 a.m. and 6 p.m. F, the project shall be served by Central Water. And G, this recommendation is consistent upon consideration by the County Board of Adjustment and issuance of a 10-foot variance from the required 30-foot front yard setback and a variance to allow two multifamily units on a 6,000-square-foot lot. And H, the site plan shall be subject to the review and approval of the Planning and Zoning Commission. There was a motion and a second and carried unanimously to forward this application to council with a recommendation that the application be approved for the reasons and with the conditions stated in that motion carried 5-0. I've received no additional comments from any agency. To date, I did provide you with copies of, I believe, three correspondence that we received recently in reference to this application. That's all I have.
Did it appear to be mainly the problem with the dune, building on the dune?
Primarily.
That holds back.
Flooding from the dune.
Water.
Lack of the dune on a neighboring property is the primary reason.
That's not in our code.
Well, what you're looking at is whether it's a good land use decision to approve or disapprove this application, and then the ordinances have to be followed in construction techniques, and Denrec's got a grant approval also.
That's really in Denrec's hands.
That's ours too. We have reference in our code too.
You could build a single family home and have the same footprint.
And it's the last one on the dune. So.
My question is, Lawrence, on G of the conditions that P&Z had proposed, about the board, the variance is required. We've done many conditional uses in that sub in that Tower Shores area over the years.
That's correct.
Did they all have to go from here to Board of Adjustment, or did just some of them do it? Or
if you look at the site map at the very last page of the packet, or next to the last page of the packet, it's actually a copy of the tax map.
In this other, yeah, right. Okay.
Actually looks like this.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
Looks like a bunch of grids, actually. You're seeing that drawing that there's a large portion of this subdivision that was multifamily pre-existing due to comprehensive zoning ordinance.
Right, right.
Okay, that's the one with the hatch line going across. Then you see a black out lots. They're actually multifamily approved by the board before we amended the comprehensive zoning map to allow for conditional use.
Mm-hmm.
So the board acted on that previously. Then you will see a crosshatch line, which is basically the B1 district. There's two applications for conditional use in the B1 district on those two lots. And then you'll see an X on the majority of the other lots, and they are conditional uses that were held to commission and county council for public hearing. And there's seven, I believe, lots that are white. They were either single family or vacant.
Mm-hmm.
As they exist today, and that's one of the. This would be the one of those seven lots.
So, if this application didn't require the 10-foot, where am I? Where's my notes here? From the 10-foot,
10-foot setbacks required on the sides.
Mm-hmm. On the side, but in the front, didn't they want to relax the front one somehow? Oh,
they're asking for a 10-foot variance from the 30-foot setback requirement for the front. But they're also asking for a variance in the square footage to allow them to have a duplex on this lot.
Okay.
Because the density calculation is 12 units per acre, which comes out to 3,630 square feet per unit.
Okay.
And that would be 7,260. He's got 6,000 square feet.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So he needs a variance of 1,260.
On some of those squares back on that other site plan, where those X's are, did they meet similar sized parcels? They look like it.
Same. They're basically the same size lot.
Mm-hmm. 60 by 100, right?
And they went through the, in some cases, they went through both. Now, density has changed over the years.
Right.
The ones that are hatched and would be Atlantic Watergate and Atlantis, some of the Atlantis pieces, they were probably at 36 units to the acre.
Something crazy.
Before zoning. When zoning first started, it was 36 units per acre for multifamily. It was reduced to 18, which some of these didn't have to have the Board of Adjustment.
Right.
And then we changed it back to 12 units per acre, which required Board of Adjustment action because they're only 6,000 per foot.
Okay. Kind of gives it a good history, okay.
Any other questions from council? If not, would you like to give your presentation?
My name is Anthony Nerlinger from 2405 Riddle Avenue from Wilmington, Delaware. Good afternoon, councilmen, council persons, and others.
You're a person.
I know that.
At least she's a person.
I realized that before I came up to make sure I didn't say councilmen. What I'm proposing is I'm the equitable owner of Lot 84 in Tower Shores. And what I'm applying for is the same conforming use approval and variance that have been granted to the majority of what now is about a 200 townhouse community of Tower Shores. I think there's only a couple of properties that are still single family lots. And I think it's significant, and you started to hit on this, is that in terms of the density and doing the minimum that can reasonably be done to a property, in terms of the density, that the density I'm proposing is 2 units per original lot. Throughout Tower Shores, there are some others that probably are as least dense as what I'm proposing, but the majority are significantly more dense. And as an example of that is the immediate property adjacent to the south of this, the Four Winds condominiums. And it shows that this sheet, I don't think Mr. Lank has, but I have 5 copies of it.
George, I'll share.
That's fine.
The Four Winds condominiums, as you can see, the original size of the lot's the same size as the original of Lot 84, which is where the same size lot that's 60 feet wide. And what I'm proposing, and it can be seen on the plot plan, is the same size footprint per unit of building as in Four Winds. In Four Winds, though, there's five houses per two lots, so it's 2.5 units per original lot, where what I'm proposing is 2 units per original lot. And the setbacks and the building, the reason you can do that in today's regulations is because of the properties next door. And there are members of the same subset of buildings. When you're asking about the concerns that came in from the community members at Tower Shores and what came across to me from Tower Shores Homeowners Association is concerned about the water coming under during a storm coming from underneath the houses that are in front of oceanfront properties in Tower Shores. And as it was stated by Mr. Kloppenstein, that is to the rear of where this property is that he can see through the Four Winds condominiums that are adjacent to this, the ones that I'd handed out to you, that there's, and his words said, there is no dune in front of them. Well, there is a dune, but it's equivalent to about 2 feet. The dune in front of this property, and I don't have as many as copies of this, that shows the existing sand. And it's more of a dendritic concern.
Yeah.
So if you drew the property to the right, you see how that sand that's in front of Lot 84 is about, if you measure from the base flood elevation, is about 8 or 9 feet high, where next door it might be 2 feet high. So a lot of the problems come from the Four Winds condominiums. Now, my intent on this property is to keep, because there's vegetation presently on top of it, to keep that property that's in front of the house and not touch it. And even to the extent of where you have a deck, where most of the decks walk out onto the sand and towards the beach, to have my steps from the deck, and the deck has to be the same size, can't be any bigger than ones next door, that you walk to the end of the deck and walk down the steps back towards the house, underneath the house, and then go up to the walkway to get to the beach. I plan on retaining ownership of one of these townhouses for a long, long time, and very aware of, I have a degree in biology, but very aware of wanting to take care of the property.
Hey, are there any questions from the council?
Just the need for the setback variance from the front is what, I mean, what you can't adjust it to?
Originally, my understanding is, see, when you're oceanfront, what are you defining as the front and the backyard? And I think that what originally occurred, you can see I'm building the same place as next door.
Right.
And what originally occurred is they made that change to allow them to move further away from the beach so that they have 20 feet from the street side setback, which is enough for parking a car off the street and pulling underneath. So
well, for a variance, you need to show a hardship or something, a reason why they would want to relax it. So you're saying it's more important to maintain that dune in the front, and by going to the back, it would be more environmentally sensitive, and et cetera,
correct,
et cetera. That kind.
You know, so this is the same thing that all those oceanfront properties.
Why are they? I don't know what they did it for and why they did
but
it.
That was the purpose, to pull it back away from the beach.
The indirect refers it to be as far away from the beach as you can, from the oceanfront as you can get.
Okay.
And Mr.
And as I am a builder and developer, and very, and in terms of working with and being very active in the Homeowner Association to come up with ways of solving, you know, the problems that presently exist, to make the whole Tower Shores, you know, a better community.
And this matter was discussed with the Board of Adjustment last night, and the applicant was there, and he discussed his reasons and the standards for the necessity of having the variance.
If you had additional, now somebody had mentioned that there's going to be, what, 5 bedrooms each?
You know, depending on what you define as a bedroom, if you look at the property next door, you know, they have what's downstairs. They put a back, you know, you have the kitchen and the great room.
Right.
And then in the back, you have a room that could be called a den. Well, do you call that a den or a bedroom? Someone wants to
sleep. Well, what I'm saying, just like on parking, if these parking spaces you show are just four, you know as well as I do at the beach,
well,
two cars is kind of, you know, something this size, you'd have more of the cars. Is there additional space to stack cars going on the roadway? Because the roadway is probably, you can't park on the roadway in Tower Shores, right?
The requirement for a townhouse in Sussex County is two.
I know it's a minimum. I'm just saying when you build something this size.
In terms of when it gets down to what can be done with sand underneath the house.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things that I think, and I think makes a lot of sense to a lot of different people, I won't mention specifically who, but I want to get an engineer to look at this, is it makes a lot of sense to use some of that sand underneath the house in terms of replacing some of the dune that's causing the problems underneath the Four Winds properties. Which takes going through DENREC is something that they
right,
design.
But you could, so you're saying you might be able to put more parking underneath?
Correct. And that, you know, that drawing that I showed you with the existing grade of the sand, as far as Sussex County is concerned, you are allowed to do leveling. Mm-hmm. And the is that you can, you know, there's room to put cars, four cars back, you know, two in front and two in back underneath.
Yeah, that would be the only thing, because I know in the beach area, I know it's the parking. It's all about parking a lot of times.
And hopefully everybody works together to come up with the best possible scenario throughout this process.
Any other questions?
You know, this allows this property in the minimal way in terms of density to conform with the rest of Tower Shores.
No other questions from council. Is there anyone else that would like to speak in favor of this application? Yes, if you give us your name and address, please.
My name is Margaret Lester. I am the president of the Board of Directors of Tower Shores, and we have been talking with Minister Nillinger about this project. He's not the official owner yet, so we cannot actually approve anything because he doesn't own the property yet. And we're not opposed to the actual duplex being built on the property. That is what we are trying very hard to restrict on all the empty lots now in Tower Shores. We're actually going to go through an exercise within the next year to change our restrictive covenants, which allowed more than a duplex to be built. So this is in compliance of what we would like to see the future of anything else being built in Tower Shores. We do have concerns that were brought up by a lot of owners to the Planning and Zoning Commission already. The biggest concern is the destruction of the dune. It is a very large dune on the property. The adjacent property, as Mr. Nerlinger stated, and it is our concern, when that property was built, the dune that was in front was lost. It is our constant sore point. Any storm that comes through Four Winds, comes through Sunray, which is another duplex that's a raised duplex with the parking underneath. The other oceanfront properties have a bulkhead or some sort of barrier, and they don't park. If they do park under the house, there is a bulkhead there. That has retained the dune tremendously. And we're in conflict, as Mr. Nerlinger has found out, with DENREC, with the county regulations as to what they can put underneath the house that will keep the dune from washing out. So that is a condition that we have. The other concern is the number of cars, because you are right. And we have fire lanes. We cannot park in Ocean Road. We have no extra parking in Tower Shores. And it is a constant struggle all summer. We tow cars. We have really had to come down hard on the renters and the owners about the cars. So those are restrictions we've already discussed with Mr. Nerlinger that have to be addressed before we can officially approve his design and building on the property.
Well, let me just ask, if the county supports the applicant, mm-hmm. he still has to get your approval?
Mm-hmm. It's okay. Part of our covenant.
Part of the covenant, okay.
But he's not an official owner, so we can't approve him.
Right.
So.
But I mean, as you alluded to, we can't do much about the dune. That's going to be between the applicant and...
Well,
and
the county, this is, again, we understand Denrick's involved in it. We understand the county's involved in it. I do see the county.
But we require just X amount of parking places, and it seems that he's shown a plan that shows the minimal. And, of course, you and I know both that minimal's not enough in this area, but that's all we can require. We can't require any more.
I missed that. What is the minimal?
Minimal is, I think, two per unit. Right?
Two parking spaces per unit.
Per unit.
Right.
Okay.
So if he has two units, he has that four.
This is just
so
two,
he does show
is
four.
Two units, uh-huh.
Right.
Mm-hmm. But realistically, he would need more than two per unit. With
we
four,
all know that.
Four,
but like
four
I said, this is the minimum.
Yeah.
If he wanted to build a place that was going to be convenient to the people using it, yes, you'd have to put more parking. But that's nothing we can require because he does meet the minimal standard. But the dune, we don't have much to do with.
What do we have to do with the dune ordinance?
Nothing.
We have to review it based on the FEMA regulations, and there's a limitation on materials that can be removed, et cetera. So then we deal with Denrick, and Denrick's got jurisdiction called the Beach Preservation Act, whereby they've got certain criteria what you do on one side of the dune, on the land side of the dune, what you can do on the ocean side of the dune. They have different regs. Regs change.
And the association owns the eastern part of the dune, and the private lots own the western side of the dune.
But what they can do with the dune is basically a Denrick-controlled issue?
We have reference to it, but we still totally depend on Denrick to give us regulations as far as what if they do any disturbance.
So we don't have any flooding, any code on flooding or flood?
No, we do under the FEMA regulation.
Yeah,
we do.
Under FEMA, okay.
But as far as construction code,
and
building codes?
You stated, I believe, that there are some units that bulkheading, and Denrick may authorize bulkheading mm-hmm. to allow for replacement of some of that material so it can be removed. It will also protect the units. And as Mr. Nerlinger suggested, he may, if he can get the approval of Denrick, that material that would be removed if he had to bulkhead could be moved over to Four Winds, which would help the mm-hmm. rest of the community.
So basically, you defer to these other agencies to give you the recommendation, and then we follow
still,
the recommendation.
And we still have minimal regulation based on FEMA regulation.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And it could be that Four Winds would be beneficial if Four Winds put up bulkheading on theirs.
But you don't object to the duplex because the whole neighborhood's duplexes, basically. It's going that way.
Right.
So,
we are trying to...
It's compatible with everything else there. So the type
That's
of
right.
housing he wants to do, there's no issue there. It's just...
Right. We don't want any more fourplexes or anything like that.
I got you.
We want singles or duplexes.
The density, just you may know, the density of Atlantic Watergate... I said 36, but I think it's actually higher than that.
I don't know the history of the
building
of Watergate.
It was before density was established.
It goes back into the 60s.
But they built just before zoning in the 60s.
I mean, Tower Shores was established in 57, and I understood that the Watergate went up somewhere between 60 and 64,
the
different buildings. Yeah.
Right.
But I don't know what...
No, there wasn't any density calculation. They just built townhouses all the way as far... All connected, like one big building.
Well, there are multiple buildings.
Yeah,
there's five buildings. And they're within the setback regulations... And Tower Shores is a little bit tighter, I think, than the county. And, you know, there is restrictions there with the covenants.
Do they get beach replenishment there?
They could. Uh-huh. I don't know how the state might only provide it for the public.
I can tell you that we got nothing.
Yeah, it's only on the public side.
We paid, after the storm of November 2009, we paid the association, the property owners, paid and worked with Denrick, primarily Jennifer Wheatley, to push the sand back onto the dune, plant the dune grass last year, put back the sand fence, three rows of sand fence that we paid for over the years to build up the dune was all washed out to sea. So we just spent over $35,000 of our own association money to rebuild that dune. That's why there's a concern about...
That's because it's a private beach.
It's a private beach, right? It's on the public side, but
no public access.
On private beach.
Right, there's no public access, right?
No public access, right. So federal dollars didn't go into it.
But we could, yeah, okay. Well,
yeah. That's their responsibility.
Is there anyone else that would like to speak in favor of this application? Anyone else in favor? Is there anyone in opposition to this application? Anyone else? Anyone in opposition? Seeing none at this time, Mr. President, we can close the record on this matter and close the public hearing.
Anything else from council?
Now, is P&Z's wait? What did they do?
Oh, P&Z did act.
They did not?
They did.
They did. They recommended. Yeah. They recommended approval.
Yes.
Right, right.
Yes.
And then.
Did they have conditions?
Our recommendation, yes. Mm-hmm. Even if we vote on it, it still goes back to the board. Mm-hmm.
The board heard it and deferred.
They've deferred. That's right. Oh, that's what I got. They,
for us, for our decision, or what? What
yeah,
is the, why are they deferring?
Because basically, you establish the use. The council has to establish the use before the board should grant a variance.
Right. Got it.
Now, I'm going to ask a question that I know I should probably know the answer to this, but I don't. If we choose to, we can grant something for a piece of property requested by a person that doesn't own the property?
Yes, because he is an equitable owner. He has a contract on the property, which gives him
and we know that because
at the time of the application.
That's interesting.
The actually property owner has to sign the application, even though he may be the applicant. Is that correct?
Yeah, yes. Mr. Nerlinger is the applicant, and the Tower Short Realty LLC is the owner.
Yes. Right, so they have to sign. They have to give permission
for him to do it.
And yet the homeowners association cannot negotiate with them.
Until it's
probably sold. 30%+ of our applicants that come before your
under contract.
Contingent.
Yeah. Right.
Get some.
Gotcha.
How much a lot like that cost?
More than I can afford. Hearing anything else, we'll close public comment, close the public record.
Make a motion we close the record.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Second.
Have a motion to close the record and comment. Any question on the motion? Motion, Mr. Cole. Second, Mrs. Deaver. We'll take that vote. Mrs. Deaver.
Mr. Deaver.
Cole.
Yes.
Mr. Phillips.
Yes.
Mr. Wilson.
Yes.
I vote yes. If you would read the short title, Mr. Moore, we'll see what the pleasure of council is.
Yes, an ordinance to grant a conditional use of land in an MR medium density residential district for a multifamily dwelling structure, two units, to be located on a certain parcel of land lying and being in Baltimore 100, Sussex County, containing 6,000 square feet, more or less, subject to the following conditions and stipulations as read by Mr. Lank, and they were numbered A through H when he read them, and they're number on pages number 8 and 9 of the handout for the public hearings today.
Make a motion to adopt the ordinance with the change conditional use with the conditions as proposed by planning and zoning.
Second.
Motion, Mr. Cole. Second, Mrs. Deaver, to approve CU 1918 with the conditions as read into the record. Any questions on the motion? Take the vote, Mrs. Deaver.
Well, I sympathize very much with the folks that oppose it. And they have some real problems, but I don't think we can solve those problems here, and because we have the same problems on the Bayfront in my district. And but I see no reason to vote against this, so I'll vote for it.
Cole,
I vote yes with the conditions as proposed by Planning and Zoning Commission. I believe it's appropriate use land use.
Mr. Phillips,
I vote yes based on the record recommendation of Planning and Zoning. Does conform to the community.
Mr. Wilson.
I vote yes on recommendation of P&Z.
I also recommendation of P&Z, and apparently this is what the community wants to be, which I think is a great thing. So I'll vote yes. Motion carried.
Before we get just back to the vendor thing, could Mr. Lawson and Mr. Lank look to coming back with us with a suggestion on the vendor definition, but also coming up with an ordinance that requiring a vendor to go to the Board of Adjustment, I believe is where we were thinking, and that way we don't have to go through two public hearings for something of that use, and then with a definition of what a vendor would be and all that stuff, and then come back maybe with a draft. And that, you could put that on a list of things to do.
Recommendation.
And that's not nothing that has to be done next week or whatever, but I'd like to see it in the near future.
You'll have some other hot dogs if you don't go in this direction.
Sure, we'll be selling hot dogs.
No, I bought a vending cart 30 mm-hmm. years ago.
That's
we use it for birthday parties and different things, and I've seen it. We've used it for 4th of July and stuff, and it's
And that gentleman has something like it, so it's I don't think it's an issue that's going to, you know, upset the apple cart.
Been very enlightening, I think, today to find out that George owns the hot dog cart.
Yes, very interesting.
And it Lawrence goes
conflict
to beauty parlor.
Conflict of interest. Conflict of interest.
That's right.
Conflict.
Entertain a motion to adjourn.
Yes.
So moved.
Second.
Yes.
Any question on the motion? We'll take the vote, Mrs. Deaver.
Yes.
Cole.
Yes.
Phillips.
Yes.
Wilson.
Yes.
So, yes, we are adjourned.
Thank you.